make us protect thee.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Save the King, O Lord, and hear us on the day we call.
Alleluia.
Said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. At that time Jesus lifted up his voice and said, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son. Let your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, St. Paul writes to us this morning from his epistle to the Romans. To be justified means, in antiquity, to be brought into harmony, to be aligned with the core principle of one's being. In the vision of the Bible, that means to be brought into harmony with our having been made in the image and likeness of God. And faith, as the turning of the face of one's heart towards God, whose face is turned toward us, even to the point of becoming absolutely one with us in our death, faith is not to believe intellectually, but to love God with all one's heart, soul, strength, and mind. We see then that being justified by faith, or shall we say, being brought into harmony through the love of God, is a matter of the heart. Love of God from the heart is what saves us, that is, what heals us deep within. This is what delivers us from the world and all the troubles it throws at us, like a net of hopelessness, entangling us and binding us in worry and anxiety. The Lord made his disciples into fishers of men. Their net is the Word of God. Not just the Word of God as a teaching about who we are and what our destiny is, but the Word of God as a mighty work of God incarnate on the cross. When he rooted out from our heart the cause of our disharmony and our misalignment from the image and likeness of God in which we were made. For the cause of our disharmony is our faithlessness, our idolatry, turning in our heart away from God to the ephemeral beauty of idols, a love that leads to heartache, to anxiety, to worry, to fear, to hopelessness, because the hope that the beauty of idols promises comes from and returns not to God, the source of all beauty and goodness, but it comes from and it returns to death and corruption. In this light, perhaps we begin to understand what St. Paul means in his epistle to the Hebrews this morning when he says, "It is good that the heart be established by grace," that is, that our heart be anchored in Christ by love or by faith, and not in foods or in rules and regulations, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. For it is very possible to keep all the rules and all the regulations outwardly, while in one's heart one is turned away from God and to idols, as the Lord complains through his prophet. "This people draws near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." This may help us understand the Lord's word to us this morning. No man can serve two masters. One may think he serves God, while his heart, secretly, is wedded to another. We can be very religious outwardly, while inwardly we are completely of the world. And so we can deceive even ourselves into thinking we are believers who have been justified. but in the heart one can serve only one master. One cannot love God and mammon, worldly wealth, fame, and fortune at the same time. Even the secret love of idols, the love of anger, the love of lust, of gluttony, of people's good opinion, and so on. Even this secret love of idols, which is secret perhaps even to us, darkens the eye. The eye is the heart, the lamp of the body. And so we can be idolaters, believing that we are believers. For an idolater has spiritual eyes that cannot see. He has spiritual eyes that ears that cannot hear or understand. He has spiritual hands that cannot feel. That is, hands that observe, perhaps, very faithfully all the rules and regulations, the rubrics and the liturgics of the church's worship, but cannot feel the heart's deep desire for God, because the heart, in fact, is dead to God. It is alive instead to pride, to the wisdom, the correctness of one's own opinions. It is alive to the faults and the mistakes of everyone else, but blind to its own blindness. Such a believer has feet that cannot walk. That is, even as his feet come to church, let's say in his heart and mind, he still walks in the ways of the world, wholly embraced and wholly embracing the love of the world. St. Paul goes on to say to the Hebrews that the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest are burned outside the camp. Therefore, he says, Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. The mystery of faith, or the love of the heart, goes beyond the gates of the camp, goes beyond the perfunctory external performance of rules and regulations. For in our heart we are deep beyond all things, as both the psalmist says and the prophet Jeremiah. In our heart, we exist outside the camp. We exist outside the world. We exist in the deep. We exist in God. We move and we have our being in the love of God. And it is through faith, through the heart's love of God, that we are caught in the net of the Lord's disciples and raised up into the mighty river of God's love, and carried by its mighty current outside the gates beyond the camp. Out there, beyond the camp, beyond outside the camp, beyond the gate. Or should we say, within here, deep within our secret heart. Here is where we come face to face with Jesus. And in the light of his face, we begin to see, perhaps for the first time, our idolatry, the extent to which it has become embodied in us, and how it has darkened the eye of our body, how profoundly it has crippled us, paralyzed us, thrown us out of harmony with ourselves. We begin to see how blind we have been. How then do we go forth to Jesus outside the camp? Outside the cities of this world to find the city of God that is to come. How do we break beyond that false faith which believes in Jesus as a religious idea while the heart continues in her idolatry? How do we come face to face with Jesus so that we come to know him, not as a religious idea that we believe, but as the only true God, and that we begin to live in him and to experience him as the eternal living reality of the heart's deepest longings beyond all words, all ideas? Well, the Father has not left us orphans. As we heard in the Lord's Prayer this morning, in the second reading from the Gospel of John, the Father has manifested his name to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has manifested his name to us both as a doctrine, but even more as a work which goes far beyond the camp, far beyond the words and ideas of this world's wisdom. That work, of course, was the incarnation of his Son, who united himself to us even to the point of death on the cross, so that he became absolutely one with us, even in our death. And so you could say he harmonized himself with our disharmony. And if we, through the work of faith, which is the work of love, unite our disharmony with him, he harmonizes us with himself. And here is the wonder. He heals us precisely in our dying. For when we turn in faith, in love, to love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, our dying becomes a dying to our disharmony. Our death becomes the death of our separation from God and the beginning of our union with him. He is himself the resurrection and the life. So if we unite ourselves to him in the likeness of his death, we find ourselves united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. So it is that precisely as we die in union with Christ, we live. And our dying thus becomes our healing. It becomes the healing of our disharmony. It becomes our justification, the beginning of our resurrection into eternal life. But our question is not yet fully answered. How do we go forth to Jesus outside the camp, to find him in the bridal chamber of our heart, that we may get caught up in the powerful current of the mighty river of his love and carried up to the heavenly city that is to come? In this world, we walk in the way of the church. The church is the work of the Savior's incarnation in this world. For the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who is all in all. In the church are found the words of Christ, which he received directly from the Father, and which he gave directly to his disciples, and which are given to us in the church's doctrines, in her liturgical and sacramental worship, and in her ascetic disciplines. In these words, we find instructions on how to walk in this world, both outwardly and inwardly. For example, outwardly, husbands and wives, love each other in mutual submission. Children, honor your parents. For example, inwardly, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, the mind of self-denial and humility in love for the Father. These words of the church are healing words, for they carry the healing grace of the Holy Spirit. As we walk in these words of the church, the eye of our body begins to grow light. The darkness of our idolatry is chased away as our heart begins to soften in her love for the Savior. For walking in all these words of the Word of God, we are walking in that mighty work of God that is beyond all words, the work of his death on the cross, whose root is his love for us, sown in our hearts. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.